Hey, it's Juck. Today, we got a Jordan Davison update. Mark Coleman saves his family from a house fire. Caleb Downs gets a Range Rover, and I went on a rant I wasn't going to air, but what the hey. Let's get it. And welcome into Juck on Buck. So the most immediate question mark after Tony Alford's departure is the status of Jordan Davison. That's one of the top running backs in the class of 2025 from San Diego out at Mater Dei. And he had a visit planned at the end of this month, a four-day visit, to come and essentially be with Tony Alford for 4 days, tour the program, tour the school, the whole jazz, and now Tony's gone. Well, 247 got a hold of Jordan Davison today and asked him, how does this impact his decision? And he says, not really, but it does hurt because of the relationship I have with Coach Alford. Hopefully they hire someone I have a relationship with already. As far as his visit to Ohio State, has anything changed? He said, not as of right now, but I have to sit down with my mom and talk about it. So, who knows? I'd say, I mean, the Buckeyes were kind of leading, most people thought, against Texas, kind of coming down to Ohio State and Texas. I would say this probably at least puts the Buckeyes at down to even and maybe a little bit behind Texas. And I would imagine that Ryan Day is going to try to step in himself and take over that role for now until he finds the right guy. So we talked about a couple potential candidates to take over that running back role, and a couple more have come out today. DeMarco Murray, we talked about yesterday, from Oklahoma, Norvell McKenzie from Georgia Tech, and Robert Gillespie from Alabama, who would be my number one pick. Former Buckeye Scotty Graham has emerged as a potential candidate. A lot of folks keep bringing up Eddie, even though Eddie said that he's not interested already, we heard. So I don't really think that's going to change. Also saw Pepe Pearson get thrown around, Maurice Claret. You know, everybody wants a Buckeye in there. I get it. But when we're talking about running back coach, we're talking about recruiting. And nobody on this list recruits like Robert Gillespie down in Alabama. In fact, he recruits so well that when Kalen DeBoer went down there, despite the slew of poor decisions he made, in my opinion, in that staff, he made two good ones, and that was to pull Robert Gillespie and defensive line coach Freddie Roach aside and give them a raise and a title promotion. So Gillespie is now, you know, one of whatever titles they give these guys as an excuse to give him more money. Assistant head coach deals where there's five assistant head coaches on a staff. It's just kind of a goofy thing they do to give him a raise. But he got a raise. Kalen pulled him close and said, you're my guy. I need you to make this work. And I would imagine that probably makes him feel pretty good about his situation at Alabama. And Alabama is one of the few places that Ohio State can't come in and have the name brand where it's an immediate better job on your resume than Alabama. There's just a couple out there that Ohio State can't trump in that department, and Alabama is one of them, unfortunately. So I don't think the odds are great on Gillespie, but I think Ryan Day is going to try everything he can to get him because he's far and away the best guy you could go after, in my opinion. And I think that most people would say the same thing. So anyway, that's the haps on that. As far as the other running backs in the class, you got Marquise Davis out of Cleveland Heights. And Tony Alford had a good relationship with Marquise Davis. Marquise Davis has a visit scheduled that he is not going to be coming to. I don't think, and it's coming up, it was supposed to come up pretty soon, but he's in Cleveland Heights. So, you know, whenever he wants to come down and do that, he can do it. And I think he's been on campus before. Bo Jackson has been on campus several times. I think Bo Jackson is the most likely one to sign first in this class. And I think that's pretty close to being done. But Marquise, as I said before, he's the guy I like the most out of, between him and Bo. And that's a minority opinion. I just think Marquise is unbelievable. And I am scared now because Marquise is also interested in Michigan. And Tony going to Michigan is going to help that, I would imagine. So that's a scary one, man. Seeing him at Michigan would really irk the crap out of me. And I mean, seeing him at Michigan anyway would irk the crap out of me. But seeing him at Michigan because Tony Alford left and went to Michigan and pulled him up there. Oh, buddy. But, hey, look, we're going to keep swinging. We're always going to have a good back. Jeff Overton, he's the running back from Virginia that's ranked 802nd in the country. And he is a guy that, you know, per the rankings, is not very exciting at all. But I read his comments today, and if this kid doesn't sound like a 25-year-old, man, I mean, it was pretty impressive. This kid says about his visit, I just swept it off the screen. I'm not gonna take the time to look that up again while I got you guys on here. But anyway, he sounds really mature, and I really now like Jeff Overton after reading the statement of what he said about Ohio State. And he should say that as the 802nd ranked player in the country being recruited by Ohio State. I imagine that's pretty flattering. But he also has an offer from Tennessee and a bunch of other smaller schools. As for his tape, I watched it. He seems pretty good. I don't know why he's ranked quite so low. I mean, I would probably say he looks closer to a top 300 player, but definitely not on the level of a Marquise Davis, Bo Jackson, or Jordan Davison. Jordan Davison is probably the best back in the class. Some services have him ranked number one. And, hey, we'll see how it shakes out. We won't know anything for a little while, at least until we find out who the new running back coach is. And I don't know if Jeff Overton was, you know, sometimes when you get a lower ranked guy, it's someone that position coach has found and has developed a relationship with, and that's the only reason that your school is after him. Like a Javon Boggs with Brian Hartline, he went and got on him early. You know, the Bucks just going off their normal rankings and such, I doubt would have been on him early, but Brian Hartline saw something that he liked. I'm thinking Tony Alford saw something he liked in Jeff Overton, so I don't know if he's still going to be a priority recruit, but he was as of now, and he definitely seems to like Ohio State. Also, the son of a coach, his dad had a great statement too about Ohio State, so maybe they will stay on him. Kid will be solid, but I'd put him in the Sam Williams Dixon kind of area as far as talent goes. It doesn't always mean you can't be effective. But anyway, that's it for that. Mark Coleman, UFC legend, Ohio State Buckeye legend, national champion, Olympian, the godfather of ground and pound in the UFC. It was a quote of his that bore that phrase, ground and pound. He was staying with his parents up in Toledo, and there was a house fire. Now, he's 59, and everything I've read, I can't find his parents' ages, but we got to assume they're in their 80s. So he wakes up, the house is on fire, it's smoky, it's burning, and his immediate reaction is obviously to try and get out, but he fights through it and busts in his parents' room and carries them out of the burning house to safety, tried to go back in and get his dog, who's named Hammer, which I thought was pretty cool. That's his nickname, Mark the Hammer Coleman, and he couldn't get his dog out, so he lost his dog. Wakes up in the hospital. He was in there, obviously, smoke inhalation. He was in pretty rough shape. And, you know, his parents lived, and there was a video that got released on Facebook on his account of him with his daughters when they came in. And, it's a tearjerker, man. I mean, just putting yourself in that situation that he was in, it's everybody's worst nightmare. The house burnt to the ground. It took 7 fire departments 7 hours to put this fire out, and it's obviously a total loss, but everybody lives, but he lost his pup, and that sucks, but absolute wonderful story that he was able to save his parents, and I mean, yeah, just really moved me. So he's had a hell of a weird life, man. This guy's lived through a lot. I mean, he was on top of the world, then he came crashing down. He was also one of the guys that was involved with that Strauss, that doctor, that molester doctor at Ohio State. He was one of the victims of that. He was a champion in Japan in Pride. He is a recovering alcoholic. I mean, the guy's been through a ton, and he's now hooked up with that fruitcake Liver King, that juice head Liver King. And he, Mark Coleman came out and said he was eating animal testicles, and makes you feel like a real man. So just a different dude, man, but what a story. Absolutely wild story, saving his parents in a house fire. So props to him for that, man. broke that a couple of the players had some, I don't know, maybe some shots fired, you could say. Quinshon, Dow, and Hayden both unfollowed Tony Alford from Twitter, whatever that means. I hate to play the unfollowed and follow game to kind of read into what somebody's thinking, but I think it's pretty safe to interpret that they weren't happy with him. Jermaine Matthews came out and said, stand on what you preach. Didn't put Tony Alford's name on that, but we can assume he's talking about him, I'd imagine. And you can be almost certain that many of the players that came back for their senior year are not too happy to see one of their 10 assistant coaches go to the rival that, you know, he spent all their careers preaching against, and then to go just flip sides like that. I don't think it's going to sit well with them. And it's certainly going to bring some extra added fire to the game this year. And I guess for that, we can thank Tony. So that's great. And you may not have caught this story, but this one I just caught today. And I had heard something about it, but I didn't quite realize to the extent. So Fox is going to be carrying Friday night games this year. And we're not talking about Fox Sports 1. We're talking about Fox on regular basic standard TV. And that's a big deal because that's not happened before. And Ohio State has long held firm that they do not want to play Friday games because of the negative effect it will have on high school football in Ohio. And we could be seeing the Buckeyes play a Friday game this year. Tony Petitti came out, talked about the significant national attention it could bring and the exposure to have games Friday night, Big Ten games on Fox. And there's been more college games on Friday nights over the past few years. But the plan now is to schedule big-time games. Specifically, we'll be seeing the fourth-rated game in the Big Ten on any given Friday night. So I went through and looked at the schedule, the Big Ten schedule, and I chose what I thought would be, at a quick glance and knowing what we know about the teams going into this season, what the number four draft pick would be each week. And we're talking about some serious big-time teams and some decent games here. So let's go through. Here's a couple I saw. These are the fourth-ranked games of the week. We got Ohio State, Michigan State, USC, Minnesota, Washington, Iowa, Minnesota, Maryland, Wisconsin, Iowa, Oregon, Maryland, and Penn State, Minnesota. So we're talking all of the big, what do we got? Big six programs now in, So we got Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. Then we got out of the new guys, USC, Oregon, Washington. So we got six kind of upper crust programs, Washington maybe a little on the fringe, but five upper crust programs, Washington and maybe Michigan State would be that next tier. And we should do that, break them down into tiers. But we got about six programs that are primetime programs that have national championships and that are legit contenders for the playoff. And they are going to probably each play a game on Friday night this year. You know, we're not talking about Friday night games with FIU or UConn anymore. These are legit contests on a Friday night. And I think that's pretty cool in the fact that I'm be excited to watch them. And that's great. But, you know, Ohio State doesn't like it because they think it's going to hurt high school football. And, well, I mean, if they think that, I imagine they got some data to back that up. And I certainly don't want to hurt Ohio high school football. But I guess this has been a big battle for a long time. I didn't know about it. But the National Federation of State High School Associations is very upset about this, and they released some statements. Ohio State, as far as the Big Ten schools' attitudes on this, Ohio State, Penn State, and Iowa don't want to play on Friday night. They've expressed that. Michigan flat out said no, they will not. I don't know if they can get away with that if they're scheduled to do it or not. I really don't know how that works when it comes to this. These contracts, but an Ohio State spokesperson said Friday night games present challenges, namely significant to traffic because Friday classes are still in session, the stadium's on campus, and we don't want to go head-to-head with the rich tradition of Ohio high school football. Former Indiana coach Tom Allen said Friday night is for high school football, bottom line. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face, till somebody tells me to shut up, then I'll say it again. That's cool. I like that. But it's not just the Big Ten. The Big 12 commissioner, Brent Yarmuck, announced last fall that the Big 12 is looking to actively play more Friday games. Austin Westlake High School coach down in Texas, Tony Salazar, said recently that college programs should stay out of the domain of high school athletics. And that's a coach who has some pull, guy that put, you know, that high school, Westlake, is a big one. Nick Foles, Sam Ellinger, Drew Brees all went there. So he's a pretty big name, and he is getting on the Big 12 about this decision they're trying to make. And getting back to the 1960s, there have been agreements that preserve Friday nights just for high school. And in 2017, this organization of high schools made a resolution regarding high school football that colleges, professional teams, should all refrain from scheduling contests on Friday night to invest in their own future success and demonstrate that high school football has a value that will be not just on the field, but in communities, and a value for scholastic teams, for boys and girls to benefit. Everybody benefits when football is strong. So the college football and fan of me is like, hey, another day for college football. I'm all for it. But I also love high school football. But am I going to miss USC, Washington to go to a high school football game? And unless it's a good one, and of course a Buckeyes game, I would never go to a high school game in favor of. So part of me is excited for it, and part of me is thinking, I mean, I guess they kind of got a point here. But I don't know, man. You know, you look at the reasons of why the colleges want to do this, or why Fox wants to do this, and Petitti wants to do this. I mean, he's a network guy that was brought in to run a conference. And of course, he's going to go for the biggest money grabs, which, yeah, I could go on a whole rant about the money grabs that they've been making in recent years, but I'll save you from it. I'll just keep that one to myself. You know, you already know how I feel about the playoff and why they're doing what they're doing and what it'll do the regular season. But like I said, I'm not going to get into it. So yesterday I did a segment making fun of Georgia quarterback Carson Beck, and Georgia in general, because they will never get called out for the buying a championship thing. And he was standing in front of his new Lamborghini Urus. So I just did that yesterday, and I'm sitting here with egg on my face today as the foundation proudly tweeted this. And that is Caleb Downs and his brand new Range Rover. And you might say, well, that's a Range Rover, and Carson Beck has a Lamborghini. But that Lamborghini Urus is about $250,000, and Range Rovers can get up to $300,000. And this one looks like a pretty nice Range Rover. That doesn't look like your base model Range Rover. So it's not kind of the same deal. And I think the funniest part about this is the face on the salesman. Man, look at this guy. He is having a blast. That's the time of his life, man. Good for you, buddy. Congrats on your sale. And congrats to Caleb on the new ride. I think we can all agree that we'd like to see Caleb get a new ride for coming to Ohio State. Good for him. The Browns signed Jameis Winston. Now, we got this awesome dynamic in Ohio State football, and I love this about our fans, is we're pretty well split between three teams and three teams that are rivals on Sunday in the Browns, Bengals, and Steelers. That makes up the bulk of Ohio State football fans' NFL choices. And the cool part is that it's the only time in life that we can be friends with each other, is we can all bond around Ohio State football, which to most of us means more than those NFL teams. So I always thought that was pretty fun and pretty cool. But my Browns, I'm a Browns guy, signed Jameis Winston, and I'm only telling you that to tell you a story. So you might have noticed that I like football memorabilia, and I particularly love helmets. It's probably why you're looking at all these teams saying, I know he doesn't like those teams, and I don't. But I do love helmets, and one of the helmets I got is a Florida State helmet. Now, this particular Florida State helmet is a little different than those ones back there, because this one is autographed, and that autograph is Jameis Winston's autograph. And I don't tell you that because I'm proud of it. I really don't like the guy, not much at all. But the funniest part about this is an autographed helmet, a Florida State helmet with Jameis Winston's autograph on it, is cheaper than one without it. And that's why I have an autographed Florida State helmet with Jameis Winston's autograph. So I thought about scrubbing it off, but then I said, ah, to heck with it. I'll leave it on there. And now it made for a funny story tonight, I think. So if you don't find it funny, whatevs. Anyway, that's my show tonight, guys. Thank you for what, well, it's not quite my show. Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to air. I went on a little rant earlier, and I thought, I don't think I should play that. You probably got a little fired up. So I thought, why don't I just re-record it in a calmer fashion? But it's getting pretty late, and I'm ready to go to bed, so I'm not going to record it. But what I am going to do now is play my rant. So if you don't want to watch me rant and get angry and irritated about a particular topic, go ahead and cut it off now, and I will catch you tomorrow. Please check out the podcast Apple, Spotify, anywhere you can find podcasts, I'm there. And I appreciate you guys so much. If you want to watch the rant, stick around. If not, cut now. And remember, you can't hold me to anything I said because I told you now. You can just cut now. All right? All right. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Chuck and Bucks out.